Mizmor Chaf Aleph. Moving ahead, Mizmor Chaf Aleph. This is a very hard Mizmor, page 184. Mizmor Lamtsech Mizmor David Hashem be Azcha Yismach Melech uVishuascha Ma Yogel Ma'oit. Now it's a short. It's not a short Mizmor. And the first question you always ask for the Mizmor is, who wrote this Mizmor? Who wrote the Mizmor? When was it written? What is the purpose of the Mizmor? So as always, that's the most interesting part of the Mizmor. Before you do anything, is what's the background. So let's right away see what it says in the Mitzudas David. There are different opinions. Mitzudas David, Pasuk Beis. He actually doesn't say anything. Look at that. So look at Rashi. Let's do Rashi. Pasuk Beis. Be'ozicha. Rabbi Seinu Pisaruhu al Melech HaMashiach. And he writes here, V'nochoin ha'dovah l'poyshoi oid al David atzmoi l'shuvah saminim shepok ruvo. Now what does that mean? Let's say, our Seinu learned that this entire Mizmor was said by David in honor of the Melech HaMashiach. And that's fascinating because the events of Mashiach coming have not yet happened, at least, I mean, you know, there are many dimensions to Mashiach, obviously, the coming of Mashiach. But in one sense, Mashiach, when Mashiach will come, there will be very great difficulties. There's going to be great disyoinus. We'll see in the Medrash in a moment where there will be battles, and there's a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in battle. The whole Klal Yisrael will eulogize him, and then that will herald in the coming of Mashiach ben David. And obviously, David had a vision. He saw what's going to be, how all of these things are going to play out. And what he's describing here in this Mizmor is basically a prophecy of those of that event. And that is very interesting. The reason being so is because he then is not the only one that does this. Yeshaya, all of the Nevi'im did this. There's a section in Yeshaya describing Moshe Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach. There's a section in Yirmiyah, a section in Yecheskel, and some of the Treyasar as well, in Zechariah. Many of the Nevi'im actually had this vision, and they described what they saw in their words. And here we have David doing the same thing. What gives David a unique vision is that his nevuah is not called, this sefer is not called nevuah. This is Tehillim, which is Sifrei Kisuvim. And that means that what David here is writing about the Melech HaMashiach and this event is being written from an entirely different perspective of Kisuvim. You have to define what's the chiluk between Nevi'im and Kesuvim. So we did this many, many times. There are many different answers. We're not going to do now, but many different mahalchim, what the difference is, but they're different. And, you know, it would be, if you know, we had a real maggid shir here, you would take all of the sections in Nach, in Yirmiyah, and Zechariah, and Yeshaya, and Yechezkel, and match them, and here, Tehillim, this very specific Mizmor, and match them up and somehow create a timeline of the events and compare and contrast different elements of the coming of Mashiach with the different prophecies to see how they all work together. They all are focusing on a different element. Okay, so let's start here with Rashi. So I was saying the past true about Melech HaMashiach. This, what David is describing, is a vision that David has regarding Melech HaMashiach. Period. Then we have another interpretation. Another interpretation is that this Mizmor is being said regarding the success of David, L'shuvas Haminim, and use this Mizmor as a refutation to the Notzrim. When he says here the Minim, we'll look in the Radak in a moment.
Minim is often refers to the early Christians.
The early Christians, the very unique Rashi, because Rashi doesn't discuss, you don't find Rashi discussing Da Malo Hoshef. That's not Rashi's forte to get involved in that. This Mizmor obviously was something which the Neitzrim are not all familiar with their ideology and their arguments and their proofs. But it seems that this Mizmor was something which they were obsessed with. And they used this Mizmor as proof to their God, to Yeshu HaNotri. And they took Psukim out of this Mizmor, for their benefit. And Adarabah, what they are taking, what they are, this is a very common concept in general. When a person that you don't trust tells you something, it usually means just the opposite. If you have an enemy, and the enemy is trying to harm you, and he gives you advice, basically you know that whatever he's telling you is just the opposite. Because this mizmar, in fact, explicitly rejects any havamina that there can be one iota of truth in the ideology of the Christians, that is why they bedafka took this mizmar and attempted their very best to corrupt it and to say things that are totally not true. And this is a hakdama to what we'll see in the Radak as when we finish the mizmar, to go back and try to decipher what he means to say. But this Rashi over here, it's a very unusual Rashi. It's a very unusual Rashi. For Rashi to say something over here is that this mizmar, v'nochan adav l'poshu, to interpret this ode al David atzmo, not only is this mizmar referring to the Melech HaMashiach who has not yet come, this also refers to David HaMelech, and it's necessary to use this to respond to the notrim.
Shapokluvo. Do you see this in Rashi? I'm looking for it.
You don't have it in your Rashi? V'nochan adavar? Pasuk Beis.
What page is this?
184. Your edition, you don't have it? They probably went berserk. They took it out. That's probably the censors took this out. Because so they couldn't.
Where on the page 184?
Rashi, on Rashi. Pasuk Beis. Rashi, Pasuk Beis.
Yeah.
Rashi says, Jabaseinu pisaruhu mal melech HaMashiach. The interpretation is this mizmar refers to melech HaMashiach, period. V'nochan adav, but it's correct. L'pasrei oid. Al David Atzer. You don't have it in your edition?
Yeah.
No, he has a different edition.
I'm in the wrong place. Okay.
Perik Chof Mizmar Chof Aleph. Al David Atzmoy. Leshuvas Haminim. This is a response to the Apikorsim Shepokru Vo. What does it mean Shepokru Vo? What is that word Pokru? It means like to uproot him. He's saying it's a Hefker. This is good. Very good. Okay. Very good. Hefker. It's very good. Hefker. It's, they're trying to delegitimize. Lefakru vo, to delegitimize David. When, now over here in the brackets, it says something which I don't know if this is really true. Someone put this in the brackets. And when it says shepakru bo, in the brackets it says sheachar shelokach es basheva omar mizmor zeh. Which he means, the brackets singling the saying is, it's a continuing Rashi, a perish of Rashi on Rashi. Which I don't think is really, I don't think is really what Rashi said. Now, again, I'm making an assumption now, a very big assumption, that what it says in the brackets are not the words of Rashi. Not really brackets. A less than sign, a greater than sign, I don't know why they're using that. I don't know why they're using that as brackets here.
He has a note.
Yeah.
Here. Now, as you said, it's unusual, and Rashi has been consistent in explaining these psukim as referring to events in David's life. Right?
Okay. Well, this is a new mizmar.
So it says, this reading appears in all manuscripts and early editions. Rashi speaks of the Christians who, as quoted by the Radak, construe this psalm as alluding to the notes read. To avoid debates with them, Rashi prefers to take David as the subject. The Vilna edition reads, our rabbis interpreted as referring to Melech HaMashiach, but it is also correct to interpret it as concerning David himself after he took Bathsheba, he recited this psalm. Whether or not this is the original version of Rashi is questionable, but it does make sense. So there's the Malbim edition, which reads, in order to refute others who expounded it, after he took Bathsheba, he recited this psalm. However, the Warsaw and Lublin editions appear to be erroneous reading. Who expounded on it after he took Bathsheba, he recited this psalm.
Okay, let me try to summarize what you said. What you just said was, if you look in the Art Scroll edition, you have one here also, Michal?
Yeah.
In the Art Scroll edition, we have a comment. At the end of the comment, there are a less than sign and a greater than sign. For some reason, in this edition, they use that a lot. I don't really know what they're doing. It appears that what is in those brackets, I'm calling them brackets, whatever they're called, is something which is questionable if Rashi actually wrote that, or that was added by an editor, by a censor, by a student, someone injected. These are not Rashi's words. Now, ordinarily, it doesn't make a doesn't really make that much of a difference for us because those words don't usually appear to be harmless. In this case, it would appear the words are not only harmless, they're possibly wrong. They're very misleading, and they were there maybe to save face. If you were to ignore, what it says in these brackets, it would appear. If you would ignore what's in these brackets, it would appear that Rashi is saying something entirely different. Let's look at the Radak to get some background. The Radak on page 185 says, "Lamatzeach." Read the whole thing over here. "Lamatzeach gamzen mizmer nemer al David." The Yeshayim, some say al Melech Hamashiach. Okay, so he gives two interpretations. Either we're referring to David HaMelech, fine, or Melech Hamashiach, and that's what Rashi's first interpretation is. The im hu al David perush le David bavur David lamatzeach mizmar le David. It means in this context le David regarding his life. Kemoshe perash nulamala. The echad min chura who composed it. The echad min hamishoyerim amoroi ola baruch hakodesh. David did not write this. This was written anonymously by a mishoyer. Very unusual, because usually, you know, you like to have get credit, like very much to give credit to who is the author. The Radak starts off by telling us that this was not composed by David, it was composed by a very holy person who obviously had such holiness that his work was included in Tehillim, and he composed this in honor of David HaMelech. Fine. The Echam and Amashav Amar Al-Bruch HaKodesh, now the Im Hu HaMelech HaMashiach, let's say, like the other interpretation, that's what Rashi says right off the bat.
Rashi says it because that's what the Medr says.
Fine. The Medr, that this composition is all in reference to Melech HaMashiach. Who wrote it? David. David HaMelech composed it, because David HaMelech had a vision of what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. And when it says, Lid David, it means, I, David, I am the author. I am the author of this mizmah. I am the Meshoyer. I have a vision, it's like a nevuah, and I'm putting it in writing to tell you what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. L'David hu kimashmo, ki ha-mizmah hu l'David, she'amoroi, David said it, beruach ha-kodesh al ha-mashiach. He has a nice little word here, binoi, because David is a descendant. Melech ha-mash, David will have a, it's a yuchas. The Melech HaMashiach will be a descendant of Shevet Yehuda of David HaMelech himself. If that is the pshat of this mizmar, when we will learn momentarily the psukim that mention enemies, who are the enemies that we are describing? Goig u'mogoig. In the days of Mashiach, Goig Melech HaMashiach, his opponents will be the nations of Goig and Mogoig. Whoever they may be, that we spent a lot of time this once upon a time about who is Goig, who is Magog, all the various interpretations. Heim Goig u'Magog u'machanehu and their camp sheyotzuru al Yerushalayim, that will lay siege to Jerusalem. Oh, yihye l'David, and third interpretation, l'David al hamoshiach ki hu nikre David. Now he's saying something very important. This is something which we come across a number of times. Not all that often, but we come across this once in a while, that Melech HaMashiach, his name is David. We like to say Mashiach ben David. Mm-hmm. Mashiach has many names. We call him, actually, it's the Rosh Tevas. Mashiach is a Menachem, mm-hmm. And a Shin is I forgot already. Yeah, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe it's Yinoin Shemo. Shiloh, Yinoin, and the Chesiv. I don't remember. Alright, I don't remember. Okay, they're Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach has many names. He wears many hats. One of his, now this is a Chazal, we don't come across this that often, but there is such a thing, you do see it here and there, that one of the names of Melech HaMashiach, his name is David. Are there any Davids in the room here? We have any Davids in hiding? Melech HaMashiach, his name is David. David, that's his name. And when you learn about different descriptions and it says David, you are referring to Melech HaMashiach. His first name is David. Okay, that, yeah, you come record. And therefore the Radak is saying, in his third interpretation, the Radak is talking, he's describing something indirectly. It says here, Lam Natzech for the conductor. Mizmar Lidavid. The Radak says, wait, stop. When it says here the word Lidavid, what is the translation of the word in this Pasuk Aleph, in Mizmar Chof Aleph, Lidavid? And it gives us three interpretations. Either the composer of this Mizmar is an anonymous person, an anonymous holy, holy Jew, and he wrote a composition in honor of David HaMelech, the old David, the David HaMelech back 2,500 years ago, whenever he lived. That David, period. Shot number two. This mizmor was composed by David HaMelech with regard to the Melech HaMashiach that will appear in the future. So when it says in this Pasuk Aleph, Le David means David is the composer. I David HaMelech, I'm now going to write a composition describing what's going to happen at the time of Mashiach. The third interpretation is it's not telling us who the author is. It's not telling us. Either David wrote this, or maybe an anonymous person wrote this, and this Mizmor is indeed discussing the events of Yemos HaMashiach. And it's describing the Melech HaMashiach by name. The name of Mashiach, his name is David. Now that's not going to say, really? We thought his name was Mashiach. What's his name? What is his name? His name was Menachem, Mashiach, Yinoin. We have in the Gemara many, many names. So why is David HaMelech, or the anonymous composer, calling the Melech HaMashiach by his first name, David? Is that his first name? Yes, it is. At least according to the Radak's understanding. And this is not out of left field. This concept appears in a number of places. Now, if you want to go to an extreme, and I've seen this also, is that, I mean, this is something which is not my type of thing that I like to talk about, is that some commentators will say that David HaMelech B'chvoidu V'yatzmo will be reincarnated, or will come back from Tchias HaMeisim, and he will be the Melech HaMashiach. David HaMelech himself will return in the form of a body in the times of Mashiach, in the body, and he will be the Melech HaMashiach. Now, that's a little bit over the top. That's way over the top, in fact.
David,
yeah.
Chai
v'kayom means that he was still alive. Chai v'kayom was the legacy is that when towards the legacy you say this by Kiddush Levana. David Melech Yishol Chai v'kayom Kiddush Levana. The body said by Kiddush Levana Chai v'kayom. The legacy was that when David's end came, when David was an old man, when he was a zaken, they didn't know if he would survive. They did not know. I already forgot how this goes. The people did not know if he was still alive. Mitzoy Shabbos. Mitzoy. There was a tradition that David would die on the Gemara. The Gemara says that David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to live forever. Hashem says no. The time has come for the Malchus of Shlomo, in Malchus Achas Nagas Bechaverta. I'm going backwards, but David says, "Tell me to now." Remember, David said to Hashem, "Tell me exactly the moment I will die. I need to know to put my house in order." So Hashem said to David, "We have a rule in Shemayim. It's part of the DNA of this world that is a guarded secret. No living creature in this world, with no exception whatsoever, knows the moment of his death. No such thing. And even you, my dear David, I will now reveal to you the moment of your death. No one knows the moment of their death." So Dov says, okay, fine. At least tell me the day of the week. If you're not going to tell me the calendar date, tell me at least the day of the week. So Hashem said, fine, Shabbos. You're going to die on Shabbos. So David says, I don't want to die on Shabbos. Chil Shabbos. It's not a good day to die on Shabbos. So let me die on Sunday. So Hashem says, no. Sunday, you are already cringing. What's the word? You are in
intruding
upon the Zman of Shlomo HaMelech. It was predestined from the time of creation that Shlomo HaMelech would be king at that time. Right. You have no right to deny your son even one day from his malchus. So I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to let you go until Sunday. It's said you have to. So the Aztecs, let me die on Friday. Let me die a day early. So I should be chil Shabbos. Could you imagine? David was willing to give up a day of his life in order that it should not be chil Shabbos. Could you imagine such a thing? Remember, everyone talks about this. The Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim. Rav Naftali Trop. That was Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law.
No, he's
Mashkir. He was very ill. Naftali Trop was very, very ill. And the Bochum, they made a collection for him. We had to say someone came in to collect staka. Someone came around. Can you donate some of your time to a person who's dying? Make a deal with Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's make a deal. Maybe everyone has a certain amount of time. You know, give a couple of weeks. This holy tzaddik, give up a couple of weeks of your life. We'll make a collection. Everyone in Klal Yisrael will give up a couple of days, a couple of weeks. Then we'll give it to a very holy person. He'll live for another 20, 30 years. And what's the big deal to you? So you'll die a week early. You'll die a few days early. We'll make a collection. So Bochum were giving up their life for Rav Naftali Trop. I'll give a week. I'll give a month. I'll give a year. Can you imagine Bochum would do such a thing? And they went to the Chofetz Chaim. What are you giving? And the Chavetz Chaim says something like, I'll give a minute. I'll give 1 minute, a very short amount of time. So they were very surprised. So the Chavetz Chaim says, you're surprised. It shows that you don't value time. You have no value. He was giving them mussar. You don't do this. This is not a mahalach. In essence, he was telling this bach that what you're doing is not the right thing. You don't go make a collection of time. Hashem gave you time. Every second counts. Every second counts. Time is valuable. You don't give up time. Yet, David HaMelech asked Hashem to die prematurely before his destined time because he does not want to be responsible for Chilul Shabbos. Can you imagine how powerful that is? Every second that David HaMelech was alive, it was a different world. And David said it's not kedai to die on Shabbos so that there should be Chilul Shabbos in my death. Now, what will be the Chilul Shabbos? Whatever will be whatever. We all know it's not a pleasant thing, these type of things. Whatever it is. He didn't want to die on Shabbos. So Hashem said, David, you know, when you're alive, your one moment in prayer is worth more to me than 1,000 oilos that your son Shlomo HaMelech will offer. You know how valuable your life is to me, Hashem? It's not kedai to make a deal. So David left it with that. Okay, I'll die. Okay, fine. Hashem did not tell him when he's going to die. Hashem did not allow him to, but Hashem did tell him, revealed to him that he will die on Shabbos. And Hashem did not allow him to extend his life by one day and did not allow him to die prematurely. So what did David do? The whole Klal Yisrael knew this. It's Feresh Negemar. The whole Klal Yisrael knew that David will die on Shabbos, but they did not know which Shabbos. So every Shabbos, you know, your smartphones are not an operation. Your cell phones, no Amber Alerts on Shabbos. They're not operational. The entire Shabbos, the whole Klal Yisrael were on pins and needles. Anxiety galore. All of the psychiatrists were working overtime on Shabbos to calm everyone down. Because the anxiety, David may die today. And Mitzvah Shabbos, what was the first thing? The first thing they did in Mitzvah Shabbos is there was a red phone in the shul, and the second they finished Maariv Mitzvah Shabbos, they picked up the phone to make a telephone call. Is David alive? Did he survive Shabbos? If David would have survived Shabbos, he'll live a whole week. We got a whole week to play around. He's making on the door. David HaMelech is making on the door a whole week. what's going to be this week?
What are you supposed to tie to live exactly 70 years?
That's in hindsight. After David already died and we make the calculation, then all of these things will reveal that David was only supposed to live 70 years. But at that point, obviously, at that point in time, it seemed like they didn't know. This is what it says in Chazal. Right. The entire Shabbos, the entire Klal Yisrael was gripped with anxiety. And with Mitzvah Shabbos, picture yourself in shul, you finish Ma'ariv, they say Kaddish Yosayim, they pick up the red phone in the shul, they make a telephone call, Nunu, is he still alive? And the person smiles and he says, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, he survived Shabbos. And they all broke out in joy. We got a whole week to fool around. Because as long as David is alive, we're safe. No one's going to chepper with Klal Yisrael if he's alive. He's making on the door. A whole week to go to the casinos. You do whatever you want a whole week. No one's going to chepper you. He's going to maybe make it on the door. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. That is why we say this, Mitzvah Shabbos and Kiddush Levana. The ideal time to say Kiddush Levana is Mitzvah Shabbos. So once we're already saying all these things, and David, by David, the Levana, Malchus, it all relates to Levana, v'chulu. So we threw this in because since it's Mitzvah Shabbos, that's the ideal time. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Let's celebrate. He's alive. Another week. So David, how do we get into this? So David Melech. All right, let's go back to the context. We'll come back to how we got this. But over here, the Radak is telling us a very powerful Yisrael. So there are three translations for the word Le David. Either there's an anonymous composer who composed this beautiful mizmar as a tribute to David. Number two, parish number two. David is the composer, and David is composing a mizmar that he had, of a vision. This is a prophecy that he had, even though it's in the book of Kisuvim, of writings, not of prophets. He's describing what's going to be with the Melech HaMashiach. And when it says Le David, David is attributing this composition to yours truly, to himself, to David Ham himself. Number three, either we don't know who composed this. No idea. Maybe David composed it. It isn't Sefer Tehillim. Or maybe some anonymous person composed this. And when it says here, Le David, we're describing the Melech HaMashiach. And guess what? Do you know what his name is? The Melech HaMashiach, his name is David. That's his name. And some go even so far, which is over the top, 10 times over the top, is that David HaMelech himself from 3,000 years ago will come back to life via Tchias HaMeisim, and he will be the Melech HaMashiach. So whoever is writing this composition is describing what's going to be the Melech HaMashiach, and the name of that fellow who is going to be the Melech HaMashiach, his first name in the phone book is David. Oh, but you're going to tell me, but if it says in the Gemara that his name is not David, the name of Melech HaMashiach, his name is Menachem, or his name is Yinoin, or his name is Moshiach, or his name is, I don't know, there's a whole long list of names. Compiled all the different names in the Chazal, what his name is. And in that long list of names, and you're going to go and you're going to uncover in all the various Midrashim, you're not going to find the name David. But it's not necessarily correct, because there are other, that's an incomplete list. There's another Chazal that says that his name indeed is David. That's his third interpretation of the Radak. I'm going over here, the first paragraph, page 185. On the first paragraph, right before it says the word B'han Noitzrim, Yelu David al Mashiach, on page 185 in the Radak, I'm in the first paragraph, the last line of the first paragraph, O Yelu David al HaMashiach, Ki hu nikra David, Kimo v'David avi tzopasik. Nasi lohem uliyatzopasik. Vamash apasik nicheskel. We learned this once upon a time. The name of the Melech HaMashiach, his name is David. V'David avdi, my servant, Nasi, will be the prince. Lohem le'olam. Does this mean tachiyas hameisim? Some say that's what it means. Some say no. The pshuta shel nikra of this pasik means there will be a man. His name is David. And he will be the Melech HaMashiach. He will be the Nasi. There, you know, yesterday was the birthday of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, correct? Yesterday? Yes, 120 years old. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he introduced this. This created a sort of stir in Klal Yisrael. He introduced a concept which not everyone was very happy with. It called the Nasi Hadar. The Nasi Hadar. There was a one. There was a critic. I don't know. Chashe, it's not a nice word to say. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zuchuso Yagein Aleinu. A tzaddik Yisrael Olam. He was a Gadol Hadar. He changed the world. And one of the things, this is just, I'm making this up, this is a very famous thing, is that he introduced into Klal Yisrael it's not a new concept, but it's a chiddush, is until we have in Klal Yisrael a Rebbe, that's only 400 years old, this concept, Rebbes. The Rebbes, you go to your Rebbe, you go to the Satmar Rav. Interesting, the Satmar Rav was called the Rav, they didn't call him the Rebbe, he's the Rebbe also, Rabbi Yoyo. Yeah, in the world of Hasidim, from the Baal Shem Tov, which is not all that long ago. The Baal Shem Tov wasn't a Rebbe. He wasn't a Rebbe at all, Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem was just, Baal Shem Tov, if he would see what Hasidim are today, he would go back into the grave. The Baal Shem Tov is the father of Hasidus, but he wasn't a Rebbe by any shape or form. Okay?
It didn't happen for a long time.
Any shape or form. Everything is attributed to him, but
it wasn't until the 1800s that they had this kind of
nothing before that, before the 1800s. Before the 1800s already. All right, but his study, it's a whole, it's a life work to understand the history of Hasidim, I don't even know how to pronounce it, which I like the grammar, how you say all these things, and the whole, all the breakoffs, how it developed, the Rishonah. I think today, in my worthless opinion, I think today the biggest influence amongst all of Hasidim, all of them, is the Rishonah. Even the ones that are the misnagate to the Mahalach of the Rishonah, they all take from him. They all take. What was the Rishonah's Mahalach? Malchus.
Right.
The Rishonah brought into the world of Hasidus that you dress like a prince.
Right.
You have the Yoifi, the beauty. Before the Rishonah, Hasidim were like beggars. They built themselves a palace. They beggars. It was a very unpleasant type of existence. The Rishonah brought into Hasidus Malchus, Gaiva de Kedusha, the real Gaiva de Kedusha. He himself, you know, he had the most beautiful clothing and the most beautiful shoes that money can buy, but yet he cut off the soles. He cut off the sole of his shoes, and he walked barefoot on the street and in the most on stones. He cut his feet on the outside. It was pure malchus, and the early Hasidim did not like that. They really did not like. They really were antagonistic to this taking Hasidus and making it into Malchus. And it took generations until basically today everyone is like this. Everyone, even those that are still misnagei to the Mahalach of the dynasty, of the religion, which includes probably half of the Hasidim today probably are you know, how it all channels down, Bian, Kapichnitz, and
they all wear ties.
I once upon a time I used to know this stuff. I forgot go to a chassid, a real chassid. They'll tell you the varf. They'll tell you all the history of every single rebbe. They'll have all the whole shalshelis hadoros. The shalshelis hadoros. But even those that were very very misnagate to the Rishonah and are still are misnagate, they all took from him. There's no doubt about it. They all took from him in this Mahalach. And how do we get into this now? David HaMelech, David Avi, I don't tell you, I'm losing my mind. I forget what I'm saying over here. I don't even know how we got into this. All right, anyway, let's go further and we'll come back. And go back to the next words of the Radak, which is background for the Rashi. The next, just the first two lines, because the rest of the Radak is impossible to understand until we finish the Mizmar. The Hanoitzrim, the Christians. We're dealing with the early Christians. These are very dangerous people. Today you see a Christian on the street. Are you afraid of them today? You're not afraid of them today. Today the Christians are watered down. They're mamish. It's they don't even know. You probably most people here know more about Christianity than the average Christian. The Hanoitrim,
the
Farshim.
The missionaries,
okay, they you have to be. They're running. They're also Grois Amaratzim. They're also very big Amaratzim. The Hanoitrim, the Farshim, I saw Yeshu. Okay, but during the time of the Radak's life, wow, the Noitrim were lethal people, dangerous people. The church was a pachat for the Jewish people. The Hanoitrim, the Farshim, I saw Yeshu. The Noitrim take this Mizmor in Tehillim, and they interpret this Mizmor as proof positive that Hashem has abandoned the Jewish people, and exchanged us with a new religion with the Christians. They take this Mizmor.
It's funny, because I would have said that about the previous Mizmor.
But also, well, we had not the previous Mizmor, we had two Mizmor in that.
No, I specifically, you know.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. This is way over my head.
I
have
more clues there, but okay.
Okay, let's see what he says over here. And you, toshiv lechem b'chol pasuk u'pasuk. And the Radak is giving us a command. Every one of you who reads my work, you go find a Christian out there in the street, and you give it to them. And you go and you respond word for word. You prove to them just the opposite. This mizmar adarava is a thorough rejection that there is of any mashu of your apikorsis. And then he goes on to explain the mizmar pasuk by pasuk, the rejection, which we'll get to later when we finish. But this is what he says over here after he gives three interpretations, he makes this comment. Now with that background, we can then go back to Rashi and have a much greater appreciation of Rashi. Now, in our appreciation of Rashi, let us accept the fact that what it says in the brackets does not exist. Rashi never wrote. Let's assume that what's in the brackets in the very first Rashi in this Mizmar was added for some bizarre reason, maybe in order to save ourselves from trouble, from anti-Semitism or from the book being banned. And let's assume Rashi never wrote what it says in the brackets. Then, with the background of the Radak, what does Rashi say? He starts with Rabbi Seinu, Pissaruhu, Al Melech HaMashiach. Wonderful. That was the second and third interpretation, or the first, no, the first, what the Radak said. The Radak's second and third interpretation. We were describing a Mashiach. Period. And now he gives us another interpretation. He says, V'nochoin hadavar leposrei oid. Al David, I have a good idea for you people. Good idea is, you know what? Don't read this Mizmar in reference only to the Melech HaMashiach. Because if you're going to read this Mizmar only into reference to David HaMashiach, then you're going to come up against some of the Christians in the street who are going to start, oh, this Mizmar, it refers to the Melech HaMashiach. That's right. You're right. And you know who the Melech HaMashiach is? It's Yeshu. He's the Mashiach. So Rashi is saying, you know, if you're going to go and go down with Rabbi Seinu, which is the MS, then you're going to open yourself up for debate with the Notzrim. Because they're going to say, oh, it's referring to the Melech HaMashiach. Oh, very good. Okay, you know, who's the Melech HaMashiach? He didn't come yet. We're waiting. And they're going to say, what are you talking about? Another Amber Alert. There's nothing you can do about it. Just no. You have to just let the Amber Alert. Emergency alarming.
Oh.
They warn him, shooting him, the guy.
Person of interest, they're pretty sure he did it, but they're not 100%.
How could they say a black male?
Oh.
How could they say that?
They say dark skin.
No, right. They say black male. Yesterday. Black male. How dare they? That's an insult. That's an insult. You can't say anything bad about these people. Also, he's BLM. You know, he's a BLM supporter.
Yeah, yeah.
And the FBI, you know, the FBI yesterday, the skin was, they didn't want to release his picture. They didn't want to release the information. Because,
and he was on their watch list.
Because it's a bush ochliu. Instead of them being involved in school board meetings, that's what they're busy with, school board
exactly
meetings.
Right.
Wokeness instead of dealing with terrorists. And they wanted to hide. You know, we're living in very dangerous times.
I told that to my wife.
Yeah,
we're living in dangerous times. Well, let's go back. Let's go.
We're just not locking them up. We're
unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on. It's sakana. We live sakana. We have to have suchusim. Sha'achana. So over here, if you're going to go with Rashi saying something very powerful, after you see what it says in the Radak, and the Radak says, it's amazing, Rashi, you know, this goes to show, you can do write a whole paper on this, is how do you deal with Avikarsim? Do you engage them and fight with them? Meir would for sure do this. Meir would mamish take them. And then you got people like me that would run, mamish run the other way so far, would hide under a rock, right? This is mamish, the difference between me and Meir is the difference between the Radak and Rashi. The Radak is Meir. V'hanoitzim mefarshim asal Yeshu. V'atah, you. Pick yourself up, get out of the base medish and go find them and fight with them. The Ata and you, Toshiv Lohem Bechol Pasik Upasik. Fight with them. Respond. Pasik al Pasik. Fight with them. Rashi says, it's referring to Melech HaMashiach. But you know, so let me give you good advice. Don't say that. Don't say it refers to Melech HaMashiach. You know why? Keep a low cover. Because they're very dangerous, these people. They're very dangerous. They're very dangerous.
And you're not, Radak from
where? A little later, Radak was the Rashi was what, 1060, 10. Rashi died in the beginning of the 11th century, 1106, 1105, 1105. The Radak was at least 100 years later, at least.
From where?
I don't know.
Where was it?
David Kimchi.
Is this Fadi?
I don't know.
I'm embarrassed to say.
He was a little bit later. He was either 100 years, 200 years later, probably Richard the Lionheart, in the time of the Second Crusade. I think the Radak was during the Second Crusade. It was about 100 years later than Rashi.
You think would be it?
And that was just as dangerous. The Second Crusade was just as dangerous as the First Crusade. The only difference was the Jews already knew. They already knew what's coming. They knew how to hide. They knew how to protect themselves. The First Crusade, the Jews never in their wildest dreams imagined how vicious it was, a naivete. The Jews living in the time of the First Crusade were naive. They never could imagine the bloodthirsty these people could be. After the First Crusade, the Jews already figured it out. And that never changed. That never changed. It never changed. And that's why Jews have such a contradiction. The way we look at Goyim today, you go to Goyim, the attitude is really in our DNA of the Goyim is a shaggy.
He was from France.
France?
Yes.
Same place as Rashi. He was a Frenchman.
Radak, yeah.
So the same place. And what year? What's the year?
1160 to 1235. Right?
1160, that's 150 years later.
Yeah.
150 years after Rashi passed.
I know I come and ask the question, because if he were living in a Muslim country, he could more easily get away with that.
Yeah.
He was living in France. France at that time was just as dangerous.
Had guts.
Yeah. It was just as dangerous, it was even worse probably. So I believe it's our personality. All these type of things, it doesn't matter when you live, where you live, who you live with. It's a matter of personality. People like Meir, you give it to them. You fight. You pick yourself up and you fight no matter where you are. You see that all over the world, that people who protest, people who don't like what's going on. They don't believe in something, whether they're right or wrong. They fight. They go and they fight. And then there are people like me that just run and hide. So who's right, who's wrong? Who's to say? Some people realize you're not going to win, you're going to lose big time, you're way outnumbered, you're way outpowered. So what are you fighting for? Just, on the other hand, look what happened in Nazi Germany. They took over one country, another country, another country, destroyed the entire world.
Well,
they should have stood up.
Hindsight
is 2020.
That's a different kind of fight.
Okay, hindsight is 2020. There are different personality traits, And it's incredible here. You look at Rashi and the Radak, and you really can do a psychoanalysis on their personalities,
right,
and how they deal with this issue. Radak says, "V'hanoitrim." This is the don't. Let's get the record straight. This mizmor is on the Melech HaMashiach, and once you ever open up your mouth at the Melech HaMashiach, you're opening up yourself for misery from the Noitzrim. So the Radak says, "Good. We'll have a good time. Let's engage battle stations. Put on your armor and let's go fight. And let's show them that they're a bunch of morons. They don't know what they're talking about."
It was still a good time in his time until 1291 is when they started to kill the Jews at that point.
Okay.
That's when it all.
I hear. You have to study history, but
yeah.
There's also an element of personality traits. There's also an element of personality. Even if you're living in the good times, bad times. You see it. You see that there are certain people who like to fight. And there are other people that don't want to fight. They just want to avoid conflict at any cost. No matter what. Rashi appears to avoid conflict. Rashi, he is dealing with the same exact issue. It's the Melech HaMashiach. And then he goes on to say, V'nochen ha-davu l'posho oid al David atzmoy. Why? Look what he does over here, Rashi. Learn the psukim pshutai shomikro on David HaMelech. Lishuvas haminim shepokruvo, to respond to the apikorsim shepokruvo, who's vo? I'm assuming bo means Hashem. Okay, shepokruvo means they to uproot. Excuse me, uproot the melech bo. I don't know what bo means. Bo means
who became bold because of it.
What's it? It because of their god of Yeh, their religion. Shepokruvo means to be mafkir, the real Melech HaMashiach, or to rebel against Hashem.
Because of the possible interpretation they felt.
So Pakubo means they became apikorsim. Now apikorsis, they went.
No, they're crazy. You're talking about the Christians.
The Christians, right. So Rashi is saying, why do you have to look for trouble? Why do you have to look for trouble? Ein hachinami rabbi seinu zichronim levracha, know that this the mizmar refers to the Melech HaMashiach. But if you're going to promote this interpretation in the yeshivas, when you sit and you teach your talmidim nach, and you learn with them tehillim, and you teach them, then you're going to learn this, you know what you're going to be doing? It's going to be in the curriculum, it's going to be online, and the goyim are going to see what it says, and they're going to go attack you. What do you need this for, Rashi says? The mechanchim, when they teach this mizmor, tell them to shelve it. To tell this Chazal, Rabbi Seinu, to hide it. Hide what it says in Chazal, this refers to Melech HaMashiach, and instead teach the Talmidim in Yeshiva that this is describing David HaMelech. What after David went, now come the brackets. She'acha she'lokach es ba'sheva, Omar Mizmor Zeh. When the David HaMelech, and the obviously the person who, the editor, says, what? What? This guy wrote, like, what part of David's life can you go and tell your students, when you learn this, that we're referring to David HaMelech, what part of his life? It means after he took Bathsheba, I guess he did teshuva. This is part of his repentance, part of his process of teshuva for the Maase of Bathsheba. That is what you should teach your students. Do not tell your students that this refers to the Melech HaMashiach. Let them figure that out when they get older. Because if you're going to tell them it's Melech HaMashiach, you're opening yourself up for a lot of tzaris.
Whenever you have a contract or a constitution, if there's not clear language, it could always be misinterpreted.
Correct. Correct. But prophecy is meant as ayin panim l'Torah. When it comes to a contract, it's meant to be something very, very specific. We're doing a transaction with Zehu. When it comes to the Tanakh, Tanakh is divine. It's divine. It's a living document, for real.
So it's open to interpretation.
It's not only is it subject to interpretation, it's meant for interpretation. It's divine. It's meant to be interpreted multiple ways.
When you have 70 views on what it means, it's always a 71st view.
Enochanami, each, well, what it means, 70 means anything, everything. There are 70 major interpretations, and there are spin-offs in each one of those 70 interpretations, which will result in millions of interpretations, all rooted in 70 basic interpretations. But that's what Torah is. That's what Torah is. What?
She took it from the Targum.
Targum, let's see the Targum. L'shabacha tush bachta l'david. Hashem, we see the tag melchum shicha. Hashem bu'ushnach yechadei in your power. Okay, melech meshicha. Yim loich melech meshicha. So Rashi, okay, that's what Radak says. The Radak and Rashi, the Iker interpretation is the melech meshicha. But both Rashi and the Targum and the Radak are acknowledging you're dealing with a hot potato here, and you don't and you want it. You so the Radak's personality is good. This is an opportunity for debate, not a debate. No debate with them. An opportunity to show them up. And Rashi says, don't engage. Don't engage with this enemy. They're lethal. You're going to come out injured. Stay away. Stand down. Don't fight with them. Avoid the conflict. Interpret this pasuk.
It's a lose-lose situation because you win the battle, but you lose the war.
Right.
That's what happened.
Okay.
In history.
So here it's incredible what you're dealing with over here. This incredible machlokes, just to take out of this, the machlokes Rashi and the Radak, and it's really a matter of personality between the two, how they the nuance of what they're trying to say. All right, let's go further. Pasuk Aleph. Now, what is exactly the saying? The pasuk base is a very, very difficult pasuk. What is however you want to learn it. Whether he refers to Melech HaMashiach, whether he refers to David, it says for Hashem, be'ozicha, in your might, yismach melech. The word be'ozicha is a very strange word in this context. Obviously, the word ozicha means might, power.
Right.
And it says there, be'ozicha, in your power, yismach melech, the king will rejoice.
Yeah, which king?
Oh, exactly. So if he refers to Melech HaMashiach, refers to Melech HaMashiach. If he refers to David, so the composer, the Meshoirer, the anonymous composer of this Mizmor is paying tribute. They're having a tribute dinner in honor of David HaMelech. Everyone is invited to the tribute dinner, and over here the person gets up and he sings a song in honor of David. Be'ozich on your might, Yismach Melech, may the king David HaMelech rejoice with Yeshu Oscha, and in your salvation, Ma Yogel Me'oid. Ma in this context means how much? It's an expression. You can't.
Question.
It's an expression. Ma yogel ma'oy. Not sorry. Not a question. It's not a question. It's an expression. It's a rhetorical question, which is a statement. Wow. Ma yogel. Look how much he will rejoice. Ma nishagzela. When you say the ma nishtana, what does it mean? Ma nishtana halayl hazeh. Is this a question?
Right.
Many commentators say it's not.
Right.
If it was a question, it would have been lama. Lama.
How different is this?
Lama. If it would be a question, you would say lama. You would not say ma. Even though the lama and ma are this, come out the same thing. But when you leave off the lama, it means ma nishtan. Wow.
How different is this?
Look. So for a child, it's a question. I got a question to ask you. The child doesn't know grammar yet. Okay, so he says, why? So he translates with mouth, why? But as an adult, you're not saying why. You know why. You say, ma, wow.
Somebody says it on the manishtana the same way. Manishtana.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Ma does not mean why.
A kid can say that too.
No, okay, fine.
In a curious, wondering.
On a very simple level, ma means why. On a higher level, ma means wow.
Right.
It means wow. Look how awesome this night is.
More Rabu
Masach. Right. It's not a question, exactly. It's a statement of astonishment.
An exclamation. In other words, it doesn't say Lama or
Ma. Right, that's what I said. It doesn't say Lama. It doesn't say Lama. It doesn't say Ma. That's another one. What's the chilling between Madua and Lama? I think the Malbum, the Malbum says when you say Lama means you want an answer, and Madua means I don't want an answer.
I
want to ask a question. I want to ask a question. Ever listen to these clips of the press secretary of the president of the United States? Okay, so there are people the press is in the audience and there's someone who represents the president. You've all seen this a million times, it's just a show. And more often than not, when the person asks the question, depends who asks the question, they don't want an answer.
Right.
They couldn't care less what the press secretary It's enough. There are millions of people watching. And if they're not watching now, if you ask a good question, it will be a clip. And it will circulate throughout the world. And the representative of the media is just basically making a statement.
Or a speech.
Making a speech. And the question will appear in all the media outlets.
Yeah, 5 minutes later.
Who cares what the, you don't care what the press secretary has to say because anyway it's either a lie or it's a distortion and they have very great skill. The point is I want to make a statement. And the way I make a statement is by asking a question. Why isn't the President of the United States in quarantine? He was exposed to a whole collection of people who have COVID. And you've been telling us for generations, why? I don't want to hear your nonsense answers. You're going to go spin it. Let the world know that this person's a hypocrite. This administration, it's a statement. Here you're using the press secretary, this setting, to make a statement. I don't care what your answer is. Yeah, you'll say whatever you want to say. That's madua. I don't want an answer.
I have an explanation of that. Madua comes from ma yadua. Lama ze leshem ma. It means madua asita etze in past. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? And lama taose ze achshav.
Very good. You say lama.
What purpose you do it?
You say madua is the past. You want to understand what happened in the past. And there, you can't make any changes. So basically, it fits well with what I said with the Malbim. The focus is the question. I don't care about the answer. Lama, I really do want an answer. I want an answer. And there's lama and there's ma. And when you have ma, it's not even ma, it's really a whole different word. It means wow. Wow, look at this. So here also, ma, yogel, moi, wow. He will rejoice to an extreme. And there are two words here. There's another famous Malbim in the Gra, this word Yismach and Gila. What is the difference between Gila and Simcha? So the Malbim says here that Simcha means constant. And Gila means a burst of joy. Simcha is it to be in a state, a healthy state of mind of joy. Yogel is suddenly news. Good news comes. And wow. It's a burst of joy. So here, David over here, the composer is saying, let's see how the Mitzvah Stavit translates his words in the Mitzvah Pasuk Aleph, in the Mitzvah Stavit Ba'ozicha. Beho'oiz hanitan mimecha lemelech ha-Mashiach. Obviously, the Mitzvah Stavit is taking sides. He is learning this whole Mizmar is in reference to the Melech ha-Mashiach. And the Melech ha-Mashiach will have great joy. Now, by the way, he's saying Melech ha-Mashiach, which one? Is this Mashiach ben David or Mashiach ben Yosef? And that's going to be very important. When we go further in the Mizmor, we're going to talk about living, because someone's going to die here. So we're going to see. So over here, he doesn't tell us. But he writes, "B'cha'oiz hanitim l'mchol l'melech ha-Mashiach, hinei yismach boi, uvishu'os ha-koldam b'mil ha-shonis." This is a program petition. In other words, over here, that this, according to the Mitzudos, the composer, whoever composed this, is going to say that the melech ha-Mashiach will be happy. That's a very important insight. I don't know, I don't remember what it says. If you go study Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, Zechariah, does it ever say anywhere in all of those words of prophecy, the frame of mind, the nature of the Melech HaMashiach? Maybe he's a mean guy. The Melech HaMashiach, what's his personality type? Is he a miserable person? Maybe he's just a very, very morose military man. What's his frame of mind? Is he a happy person? Is he a serious person? Here David says, I have a vision. The Melech HaMashiach is a happy person. People like to be around happy people. Everyone knows different types of people. And there are some people who are always combative. Every time you talk to them, they're always fighting with you. Some people are miserable. They're always depressed, and every time you talk to them, oh, I got this problem and that problem, and this no good and that's no good. Very pessimistic, the world's coming to an end. And then there are people that are happy people. They're happy people. You like to be around a happy person. The Melech HaMashiach has resting on his shoulders all of the world's problems. So is he a happy person or is he a miserable person? Tsaras can make a person meshuga. I know one. There's one person. I remember one person. I want to say who it is. But when I was a little kid, I remember him as being a very happy, upbeat person. And as I got older, and this person became much more responsibility fell on his shoulders, it changed him. He became consumed in dealing with problems that he was responsible to deal with. And it really my relationship with him, he was a very different person. He was a very tense, he became a very tense person. And every time you talk to him, it wasn't like the good old days. The good old days, he was a happy person. And then he became very tense, that's really the word. And here it says an incredible insight. Due to the oaths that you will bring upon the power you will give to the Melech HaMashiach, you will inspire him, he will rejoice. And in your salvation, my Yogel Ma'oid, Pasuk Rashi no Rashi. Now we have a very beautiful Pasuk. It's kedai to learn the Mizmer just for this Pasuk. Ta'avas Liboy Nosatoloi, his desires, whatever he wants, you're going to give to him. Va'aresha Sifasov Bal Monato Sela, the utterance of his lips, you will not deny from him forever. Now there are two different expressions over here. First is Ta'avas Liboy. Add that to the equation of the previous Mizmar, where we thought we conquered the whole world. In the previous Mizmar, we learned about that in Pasuk Hey, Niten Lecho Chilva Vecha. And then we had Lechol Atzosicha Yimalei. And then we had Yimalei Hashem Kol Mishalei Secha. We had in the previous Mizmar three different types of desires a person can have. There are the mishalois, a she'ela, nafshi b'she'elosi v'ami b'vakoshosi, a she'ela, and we had yiten l'cho chilvavecha, and we had atzosecha. Okay, we taka did not have here in this pasuk a bakosha. That taka was omitted. That was not mentioned, the bakosha. But here we have a new concept called ta'avas liba, the desire of your heart. Someone's got to come along and explain to us the difference between these four. The difference between, if you could have only one of them, if someone give you a choice, what would you like? If a birthday present, what would you like? You could either have choice A, Gesundheit, Ta'avas Libo. Choice B, you could have Yitim Lecha Chilvavecha. Choice 3, Yimalei Hashem Mish Aloy Secha. Choice 4, is v'cholat soscha yimale. Choice 5 is yimale. I don't know how to say it, the right verb is your bakoshos. Bakoshos. What would you like? Which one? So would we all. Which one of the five? If you only could have one, which one would you want? Well, I don't even know what they are. First, define the five. So someone's got to come up, do a project. And study Tanakh and clearly define the difference between these five expressions. Then it says here this expression, which all of the commentators on the page all say the same thing, that this is unique. There is no other source for this, except maybe for one by Koresh. The words V'aresha Sifosav. We say this in Rosh Hashanah. Aresha Sifoseinu. Yerav Lefonecha. Okay, there are many nigunim for this. Every Baal Tfila has their own selected, their preferred nigun. Areshes, some of them do a different nigun for each time. We say it three times. We do it six times, actually. Six nigunim. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, you say it six times. Each time you say it with a different nigun. Areshes sefaseinu yerav lefanecha. In the Art School translation, it says the utterance of our lips. Where in the world did the article get the translation, the utterance of our lips? Sifosein means the lips. Areshes, what does that mean? So if I'm not mistaken, it comes from the word, but we have heard, is sifsoisav merachashin, murmuring.
Right.
The murmuring of the lips. Murmuring of the lips. They say that sifsoisav merachashoy spakever. If a person if you repeat Divrei Torah in the name of a person who's no longer in this world, if someone has left this world, and someone in this world, he says over his Chidushei Torah, Chazal said, you're doing that Neshama a very big favor. And it's called Sif Soysav, his lips, Merachashin, they are murmuring. It means they're moving. It's Dovos? Does it Merachashin?
Oh,
I'm making a mistake then. But it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Dovos, to murmur. Yeah. A snake is its slivers. The word Rachash, Areshes Sivoseinu. Okay, I'm somehow going the Indian. I'm somehow making this leap, which is not so clear. But I'm saying I know. I'm sorry. I'm correct. Areshes, Reshes means to sliver, like a snake. It slivers. This movement, it's used by grapes and olives. If you have a big collection and you touch it, it moves a little bit because it's part liquid, part solid. It shakes. So when you take the word areshes with the word sifosav, it means your lips are moving. It's an expression. If your lips are moving, it means that you're saying something. The utterance of your lips. Now the truth though is, the way the word is used, there's no parallel. There is no precedent for this. Let's look at the Metzudas Tavid. Areshes, so over here, in this passage, we have over here two concepts. The Ta'avas Libo Nasatalo, the Melech HaMashiach. Again, this is new insight. This is new insight into the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach over here, this Mizmar, is making requests. This is not the way you think about the Melech HaMashiach. When we imagine Melech HaMashiach, most of us think that the world has so many problems, and the Melech HaMashiach is not going to ask, is not going to innovate. The Melech HaMashiach is not an innovator. The Melech HaMashiach is a prophet, and he's just doing Hashem's Ratzon. He's not an independent, creative being. Was Moshe Rabbeinu creative? Was Moshe Rabbeinu independent? Was he a machadesh? It seems not.
He did mashosach of his work.
He was just the mouthpiece. He was just the mouthpiece of Hashem. I'll prove to you that Moshe was not an innovator. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, Hashem told him, he asked, what's this all about? And Hashem, the crowns, Hashem showed him Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva was being doyresh, Tal Talim Shem Halachas, in each one of the koitzim of the crowns of letters of the alphabet. And Moshe was sitting in the shiur and literally did not understand one word. That's what it says in the Medrash. And so why not? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand Rabbi Akiva said? The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu was not an innovator.
In some ways, Gimel Devarim also Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito.
Okay, you're right.
So he wasn't
okay, you're saying good. Okay, but okay, that was later. Yeah. Okay, later.
Asher Shibarto is one of them.
Oh, you're saying good. You're right. You're right. You're saying very good. You are exception. You're saying very, very good. That's a very good point. That was his creativity in destroying. What were the other two? He broke the luchos. It's very interesting what you're saying.
He hit the stone.
Okay. Yeah, that talk. Yeah. What else? What was the third one? That's very interesting. Very. But Moshe Rabbeinu's forte was not to create.
I think it's by Korach when he said,
open up the ground.
He said,
you'll be buried. So is that amazing? All three then are all destructive acts. He shattered the luchos.
The reason I say what you said was that's what it means by Davar Hashem Moshe Lamar. Moshe said, Lo ish dvar manochi. So God said to him, okay, so I'll tell you what to say. I'll give you the script. You just repeat what I say. By Davar Hashem Moshe Lamar, by Yomar Hashem Moshe Lamar. Is because Moshe said, Lo ish dvar manochi. I can't speak. So he says, okay, so I'll tell you what to say.
Moshe was nothing more than Rambam. Many of the Rishonim say this, was not there to be mechadish, to do anything on his own. Nothing, everything was pure from Hashem. He was just a conduit of Hashem's words. He was He was a messenger. That's all he was. He no chidushim. And the three examples that you gave where he was machadish, they're all acts of destruction.
Right.
Churban. He broke the luchos. He hit the rock, which means that he shattered the rock. And number three is the earth swallowed up Korach. Those are acts of churban. But Moshe didn't create anything. Rabbi Akiva, the essence of Torah Shebal Peh is chidush. Is novelty. It's Torah. Granted that the Torah is from Hashem, but there is an allowance in Torah Shebal Peh to be mechadesh. Kol ma the Talmid vosik osid lehischadesh. Lehischadesh was shown to Moshe, but Moshe was not a mechadesh. So Moshe and Rabbi Akiva have nothing in common.
Right.
Rabbi Akiva was a mechadesh, and Moshe was a conduit of Hashem. He's not a mechadesh. Adarabba, he's a machriv. Moshe Rabbeinu, what was his forte? To destroy. He destroyed the luchos. He broke the luchos. He broke the rock, and he told the ground to swallow up Korach. Rabbi Akiva was a mechadesh. He was a mechadesh. They have nothing in common. Moshe and Rabbi Akiva. So now going now over here, you go back to this, to the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, what is it? Is the Melech HaMashiach, ask yourself the question, which category, which camp would you put the Melech HaMashiach? In the camp of Moshe, who's not a Mechadish. He's just here to be the conduit of Hashem's desires. Or is he a Mechadish, Rabbi Akiva? Which team is the Melech HaMashiach? Whose team would you put him on? So I always thought that he was on the team of Moshe. He's not here to have any novelties. We got big problems in this world. And Hashem wants to solve the problems. And through the Melech HaMashiach, Hashem will use the Melech HaMashiach as the means of solving the world's problems. And bringing forth everything that, all the good that Klal Yisrael has to offer to be the Or La'avin. Along comes David and says, you're wrong. You're wrong. Melech HaMashiach is on team Rabbi Akiva. He's not on team Moshe Rabbeinu. Because here it says, Ta'avas libo nosatu lo. He has a desire what to do. V'aresha sifasaf. The utterance of his lips. These words, Baal, you have not denied from him. It gives you, I could be totally wrong, which I usually am, but he seems here to be saying that this person, Melech HaMashiach, has an agenda. He has some creative desire, and he's trying to do things on his own. And Hashem is saying, good, good, it's very good. Let me help you. Let me help you. You take the lead. Not like Moshe Rabbeinu, who did not, the whole Moshe's not in the Haggadah. Over and over this, he said, because Moshe was not a Mechadesh. He was just a tool of Hashem. Listen, like come to Moshe. What? He was an extension of Hashem.
With Eben Hashem.
Eben Hashem. Who is the Melech HaMashiach? Whose team is he on? These psukim over here give you a whole new insight. Go study Yeshayah, Yecheskel, right. Yirmiyah, Zechariah, and some of the other prophets. And I don't recall getting that impression that he is a Mechadish from their perspective and their vision. He's like a Moshe Rabbeinu. He's Team Moshe. Here you're getting a different flavor.
What you're saying is very interesting, because what the Abarbanel says in terms of when Moshe is, after he breaks the luchos and he has to go back to Shemayim to get the second luchos, HaKadosh Baruch Moshe is saying, you know, basically he's telling him that maybe there's something that we need new to prevent. A lot of times when something goes wrong in a company, they put a few new words into the thing to prevent the same tragedy happening again, safeguards. And God says to Moshe, Abarbanel says, Shnei luchos avanim karishonim. There was nothing wrong with the first ones. The second ones will read exactly the same as the first ones. Shnei luchos avanim karishonim. That's it. Nothing was wrong. Your problem is you, not that.
Ooh. All right.
Good shot. Like
excellent, that. Excellent. Let's finish up quickly. Look at the mitzvahs.
The only thing the Radan has been the only one who says, no chaver
b'mikvah.
He says, mivta sfatai. That's what we say before Shmoneh Esrei.
Hashem shefasai.
You're not allowed to say it. You just
move.
Your lips move.
Ah. So you want to say the Areshas means like Chana. You want to say the source of law, you want to say the Areshas alludes to when you're speaking silently, you don't, there's no sound. Like way we daven Shmone Esrei. That arrangement. Let's see very quickly. The mezuzah and Rashi will finish. Ta'avas libo, masha yisaveh belibo titi lo. The composer is asking, or David is asking, the Melech HaMashiach, whatever he wants. Give him, grant him whatever he wants. In ki lo shololov, the Amav Loshon Ovar, Kederech HaNavua B'Habi Min HaMekoymas. Over here, it's in the past tense, because that's the prophecy is all about. So this is, see here, I guess the mezuzah David here is alluding to, alright, let's just confirm. It's the Lashon Avar. In prophecy is always very often written in Lashon Avar because by Hashem it already happened. What will happen, by Hashem already happened. V'yamo Lashon Avar kiderech ha-nevuah shebahavim min ha-mekomos ki al-ki b'mari ha-nevuah nireh kilu kvar ho yadavar. V'areshes, the utterance of his lips, v'kol shekein shebal tinda mimenu ma'ash yishal b'fiv. Ooh, look at that. So he's saying always something very, look at the mitzvah ceiling. Vadeshes inyan mivta va'amira. Mivta means expression and speech. The ein loy doime ba'mikra. There is no equivalent in the entire Tanakh. You're not going to find anywhere in the whole Tanakh this word used again in this context. Uva payot, and the only place that we have it is in the Nusach HaTfilah. Shoresh Hashana areshes sifo seinu. And Reshes, let's say they have two segels, so that's why it's Reshes.
Right.
Two segels, remember, is Sheker is MS, but MS is Sheker.
Right.
Not another time to go through the rules. Just,
no, because MS is not an olive, it's a
chata. It's a chata segel.
Right.
When you have two segels, it's Mila El.
Right.
So Sheker, two right. Segels. Under the shin, under the kuf. So how do you pronounce it? Is that sheker or sheker? Sheker is MS. How do you pronounce aleph mem saf? There are two segels, but they're not two segels.
Right.
The first one is a chatov segel. There are five dots. There's a segel. So when it's a chatov segel, then it's milara. So it's MS. So sheker is MS. But MS is Sheker. If you say it MS, you're saying it the wrong way. That's Sheker. You're not saying it the right way.
Right.
It's an expression to remind you of the laws. MS is Sheker. But Sheker is MS. Okay, another time. You don't now look over here, Rashi. Rashi says the Areshas Lashon Dibur. The Ein Loy Dimyon. Rashi says, just like it, same thing. You're not going to find any equivalents in the entire Tanakh. Umenachem hevi lo no chaver. Menachem has found in a friend. It's not a loner, but as a friend. Kirishyon koresh melech poras. What is kirishyon? So I guess he's saying it means the permission. The word rishyon in this context, we always think it means with the permission. They built the Bayis Sheni with the permission, okay. The permission of Melech Koresh. So that's how we translate it. And if that's what it means over there, then ein loy chaver, ein loy chaver, ani loy chaver. Then when it says Areshes Sifaseinu, that's nothing to do with what it says over here. But obviously, it must be that Menachem there or here. He's not even telling us what he's doing. He says, "Ushneim l'shoy mifta sifasayim." I don't know why I have to say that, but it seems that when the editor here wrote over in this Rashi, whoever wrote this, is that when it says by koresh kirishon koresh, it means the words. It doesn't mean permission. He would not. He would strike the word permission from the the art scroll translation. He would not say the word means permission. He would translate with the words, the utterance of the lips of Koresh. Koresh spoke. Koresh, his pronouncement, with the pronouncement of Koresh Melech Paras.
As per the utterance of his lips.
Pronouncement. But here he's opening up a world of commentary. Because, as Rebbe Chol Taka said this, what do we say? This is an amazing thing. What Menachem is saying, in learned punkt fakert. This is a mechol. When mechol said, if not a mechol, one wouldn't be able to say what he's saying. We say every day before Shemon Esrei, Hashem sifasai tiftach ufi yagid tehilosach. What are you doing? A tefila koydim a tefila. Hashem, help me pray. Okay, you pray to Hashem, and then you are then before we pray, Hashem, I want to be mispalel, a prayer to you that you should give me the siyata d'shma that I should pray well. That's the poshut pshat. But today, it was kedai to wake up today and come here and learn a new principle. No, that's not what it means. You're asking Hashem permission. When you say Hashem sifasai tiftach ufi yagid tehilosach, I'm not asking you to pray so that I should pray. That's redundant. You don't pray to pray. You don't pray that I should. That's not what you're doing. You're asking Hashem permission. May I please have permission to open up my mouth and dive into you? What chutzpah do you have to make it? You have permission? You come before Melech and you start talking to him. Who gave you permission to open up your mouth? You're now being oimed lifnei HaMelech. Just stand there. Who gave you permission? You don't talk until the king talks to you. When a person goes to Beis Avel, Me'ikar Hadin, according to the letter of the law, which we don't practice today, you don't open your mouth until the Avel speaks to you. Okay, when you go, when we say in davening, when we talk about the Malach Yashar, it's V'chulam Noislim Rishus Ze La Ze Lahatish Liyot Shem Benachat Roch. No Malach opens up his mouth until he first gets permission. So why are we different? When we have permission to open up our mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say before Shemona Esrei, Hashem, Sifosai Tiftach, Ufi Yagiti Losecha, it doesn't only mean the basic pshat, I'm praying to you, Hashem, that you should give me koyach to daven to you. No! That's not what it means. I'm asking you permission. Hashem sifosai tiftach, you have to translate it. Please give me permission to open my lips so that my peh will sing your praises. Just like the Malachi Hashore Silchulam Noislim Rishus Ze Lozel Lahakish Liotim. How do you know that's the pshat? Because it says sifosai. And it says here the word sifosai. And next to the word sifosai, it says this very strange word called areshes sifosof. And the word areshes sifosof has only one friend in the whole Tanakh. Only one chaver. Who's its only one friend? Koresh. And what it says there by Koresh? It says, Kirishyon Koresh. Open up the art scroll. Art scroll translates with the permission of Koresh, Melech Paras, the Jewish people are going to now build the Beis HaMikdash. Permission.
That's why they call him Koresh.
Ooh, you're saying very good. The Mahus of Koresh was permission. You're saying very good. Reishin, Areshes. Ooh, you're saying very, very good. So like a Loshen, Loifel HaLoshen, Kirishyon Koresh. Kirishin Karsh, Loshan Lashon HaKadosh, Loshan Mevla Loshan. Wow, that's even better. You see a lot of Chidushim come out of the Koyal over here. Kirishin Karsh, from the Chalter of Kalman. Kirishin Karsh, it means permission. So these words go together. Here it says, with the permission, the Aresha Sifasa Balmonata Mimenu, when the Melech HaMashiach will ask permission. Rishus, and it's beautiful now. You know why? Because the Melech HaMashiach is just like Koresh. What did Koresh do? He gave permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. What is one of the primary roles of the Melech HaMashiach?
To build
the Beis HaMikdash. He's getting permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the world. There's a similarity. It's the Aresha Sifosov with the request of permission. So we like to translate Aresha Sifasin as the utterance of our lips. Lashon of Dibur. But what Menachem really is saying is a permit. It's his request to have a permit to redo his sidewalk. Right? I once had to redo part of the sidewalk. So the contractor says to me, I was a goody-goody those days, says to me, you know, you need a permit. You need a permit to fix the sidewalk. So he says, so I said, you get the permit. So he says, no, if I get the permit, it'll cost $5,000. If you get the permit, it'll cost $75. So I said, yeah, but I also have to go spend a half a day, go down to Court Street and wait in line there and go. So he says, okay, so don't get a permit, but if they catch you, they're going to give you a nice big fat fine. So I said, people really get, they do sidewalks every day, I see. Everyone has a permit to go fix the sidewalk? He says, no. But if they catch you, you're going to need a lot of, you can have. So I was a goody-goody. I go down to Court Street. I wait in line. I fill out the papers. And by the way, the contractor, I wanted him to do it on Sunday. So he said, I fill the papers. And then they stand. And it's just in the word is, remember, you're not allowed to do this on Sunday. Sunday, why Sunday? My yemi or mine? After all the paperwork, you still can't do it. You still can't do it. Any then, a permit, a whole new shot. Aresha sefasa means the permission. The request for permission. Yerav lefanecha. That should be sweet. You know why? That's derech eretz. When you ask for permission, that's derech eretz. Sefasav means a request. Aleshes means permission. The request for permission. What he will ask you, Hashem, permission to do, grant him, Hashem.
Didn't Esther ask
for permission? Yeah. It doesn't say the word Aleshes. He made a request. Okay, in Al Melech Toiv, Ayosha, whenever you have to go back, okay, over to the Holy World commentary, where the Machmav, Rabbi Yehuda, right? Okay, oh wow, it is so late. Unbelievable. Okay, I'm sorry. So after we finish, we're going to come back very quickly. I want today not to do Dush.